The Secret Ingredient by Teshume, read by X-Man-Hater. Summary. Cooking is love made edible. A short piece for the Getting Good Wood magical realism prompt. PK is surprised when he finds out that Carrie's never had homemade coffee. He shouldn't be, he realizes later. Coffee is not a natural product of Canada, and it makes sense Carrie's family wouldn't have traditions built around it. But coffee is such a staple of PK's childhood that for a second he can't imagine a life where the smell of roasting beans hadn't seeped into the walls of everyone's home. So, of course, he promises to make a cup for Carrie. He has a woman he gets cherries from in Montreal. She gives him a smile when he walks in and gently chastises him for staying away so long. PK shrugs sheepishly. He knows he should be more careful about what he puts in his body, but the manufactured insincere good day imbued in a Tim Hortons cup isn't that bad. He goes to the Blue Mountain box. He wants to work with a familiar bean, and Blue Mountain was the bean his father always used, a solid Jamaican bean. He's careful about picking the cherries, looks for pairs or groups that have the same energy indicating they came from the same bundle on the plant. He's making Carrie's first authentic coffee. He can't be careless, even at this stage. He dries the cherries in the window with a heating lamp. It's not ideal. Sun and air are important parts of putting the right feeling into the beans. But it's winter in Montreal. PK doesn't really have another option. He puts a fan on it and puts flowers around the windowsill like his mother taught him, and it sort of makes up for it. Once the cherries are dry, he hulls them, peeling away the dried skins and gathering them into a pot. He'll dispose of them properly later. Later probably means at the end of the season in 4 months when they're rotted and gross and PK just ends up throwing them in the dumpster. This time will be different, though. PK swears he's going to take them to the plant to be processed properly this time. He lays out the beans on parchment and finds the engraving knife his dad had bought him when he left home. It's a painstaking process, but that's what makes it the most important part. Every bean gets labeled, the symbol for friendship, home, comfort, or loyalty etched into the leathery skin. When he gets to the last one, he hesitates for a moment before writing love. Its essence will hopefully get lost underneath all the other notes, but PK can't bring himself to leave it out. He sprinkles the beans with allspice and cane sugar before tipping them into the frying pan. He opens the windows at this point, lets the frigid air circulate in his apartment. It makes him shiver and wish he was wearing his slippers, but when he starts roasting, he'll be happy for it. Roasting beans is time-intensive, if only because PK has to stay at the stove the entire time, stirring the beans so they're evenly cooked. He's not that good at this part, was more concerned with playing hockey than proper stirring techniques when he was younger. The beans come out mostly even, a little crispier on one side, but not too much, and the smell of coffee has settled thickly over the walls. The winter breeze circulating his apartment helps cool the beans quickly. PK pours them slowly from one ceramic bowl to another, back and forth, until he can't feel the heat radiating off them. He leaves the window cracked when he goes to practice that afternoon. "Come back to mine after practice," PK nudges Carrie in the locker room. "The coffee's ready." Carrie hesitates. "Tomorrow?" he asks, eyes focused on unlacing his skates. PK's a little disappointed. He's all ready, but he didn't actually give Carrie any warning, and maybe he has plans or something. "Yeah, sure." He smiles brightly, knocking against Carrie again. Carrie rolls his eyes and knocks back, but he smiles too. "I'll call you when I'm heading over." It's better like this anyway. PK was rushing at asking Carrie to come over right after the beans were roasted. An authentic cup of coffee, especially one that PK has put so much of himself into, shouldn't just be drunk out of Mr. Coffee Brewer. There is a ceremony to this, and PK should observe the rituals. He hasn't shared a cup of coffee with JT in ages, and it takes him a while to dig up the cups they use and clean them out. He grinds the coffee that night, by hand. It takes forever, and he feels kind of stupid staring at his electric grinder while he crushes the beans slowly with mortar and pestle. But tradition, he's supposed to be doing this right. Carrie calls at 11 the next morning, and PK pours the water and the coffee into a pot and sets it to boil. It's just finishing when the door chimes. PK turns off the heat and opens the door to Carrie, awkwardly holding a container of foamy white cream.
"It's ice cream, sort of."
PK feels his heart skip.
"It looks good. Come in."
He steps back, gestures Carrie to the table where two soft blue cups are sitting. PK pours the coffee and sets one in front of Carrie.
This is a drink for old friends. It's bitter because true friendship will survive painful times, and rich because nothing is worth more.
Carrie takes a tentative sip, and PK can see his shoulders drop and the tension seep out of his body.
Thanks.
He smiles warmly, lifting the cup again. PK smiles back and takes a sip. He tastes the Caribbean immediately, the hot winds bringing the smell of the Sahara mixed with salt and spice. He's only been a few times, but the taste is as familiar as his parents' house in Toronto. He grew up with the taste of the Caribbean on the back of his tongue. Home and comfort and friendship sink in. It's not as strong reflected back in something he made himself, but Carrie is almost glowing with it. When they finish the coffee, Carrie hesitatingly pulls the container of cream towards them.
We eat this for dessert sometimes.
It feels like whipped cream, smooth and soft, but it doesn't taste like it. It's sugary, mostly, with a bitter undertone, and brings with it the feeling of cool mists and the unfamiliar smell of mountain flowers. It still smells like home, Carrie's home that he's sharing with PK. The warmth of Carrie's friendship and trust sink in with each spoonful.
It's good, thank you.
Carrie shrugs like it's not a big deal, which is total bullshit because PK can taste how important this was, how much effort and feeling Carrie poured into this. He isn't expecting it when he feels the cool cream hit his cheek. When he looks up, Carrie is nonchalantly licking his spoon like he hasn't just flicked a glob of cream at PK. He looks at PK with big, innocent eyes.
It's tradition.
PK laughs, wipes the cream off, and moves to smear it down Carrie's face. As he's leaning back, Carrie catches his arm and pulls him close again, so their foreheads are almost touching. I love you too, he whispers and presses a kiss to the corner of PK's mouth, and then darts up to lick the cream off PK's cheek with a wide, slimy brush of his tongue, holding on as PK laughs and tries to squirm away. The end.